How you doing, church? Are you ready for an awesome morning? Hey, I just believe this is an exciting day, and we got some vision to cast. Obviously, we bought a building last week, and it happened to be this building, and we've been going through the whole process this week, and we would love to have an incredible morning of not just one person speaking, not just two people speaking, but you got the triple threat this morning. Myself, Pastor Ryan, and Pastor Jane. And if one could put a flight, 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, we got 100,000 kind of morning this morning. Simple maths. So get ready. Turn to someone and say, you're amazing. Tell them you love them. Give them a big hug. Show them your pearly whites. Yeah. All righty. Hey, there's a lot of exciting things going on. As I mentioned, we got our Influencers College starting in August this year. And we'll be offering a couple of different degree options. Whether you want to do 1 year, 4 years, 2 years. It's going to go towards, basically, we're partnering with Lee University in Tennessee. It's going to be amazing. We believe education's important, but also practical's important. And so it's one thing to lock yourself in a basement online and just study. It's another thing to be a part of a community studying together, educating yourself. And whether you want to do nursing, criminology, whether you want to do theology, whatever it is that you're passionate about, can start here at Influencers, and you can specialize after 2 years. All that good stuff's happening. We are getting geared up for Influencers Music, our second release. This week was a special week because our EP, our first EP released on October 27, last year, this week hit 1 million streams. And on Spotify, not combined, just on Spotify. And we're just so thankful to God because there's been a lot of hard work. But as you know, with these sorts of things, it's not just hard work that makes things successful. It's all about God making a way for you. And I remember last week I spoke about the Israelites, and they're facing the Red Sea, and behind them is Pharaoh's army, and it seems like an impossible situation. And the first thing is what our human instinct is to do, which is to worry. And they start freaking out. And Moses turns to God and says, God, what's going on? They're saying, what'd you bring us out here to die? What's going on? This is a terrible plan. And sometimes we can look at plans and we can look at them with human eyes and go, man, this plan does not make sense. Why am I in this position? God, why did you bring me here for this end? And God says, no, you need only be still. I'll fight for you. And so some people here this morning need to know that God is going to fight for you if you still your heart, quiet your heart. That means give your worry to Him and trust the plan that He's able to part see. Because I'm sure that wasn't in their mind of going, I wonder what their strategy was in their mind of how am I going to get out of this. I don't think parting the Red Sea was the logical next step in anyone's mind in that moment. But it was in God's. And that's why I love God. And that's how He works, is He works outside of logic. Because James talks about in James 4 that there is earthly wisdom and then there is godly wisdom. And there's a difference between the two, and it's not to throw out earthly wisdom because there are principles that are true and ways that we operate, but I'm telling you, when God speaks, that trumps all. And we've got to be careful to decipher between our emotions, right, our soul and our spirit. And the only thing that does that is the Word of God. So get into your Word every day, every night. I'm telling you right now, meditate on this day and night. Be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful in all you do. Simple. End of story. You ready to get into today? I'm talking fast. Can you tell? Can you understand me? Good. Let's do this. Lately, I've been driving home, and as I've been driving home or to different places, I've noticed my brain's a bit scattered with things going on, the music release that's coming up and all this sort of stuff, and I'm thinking about 10 different things. How are we going to do this with the building? How are we going to do this and that? And I find myself, I don't know if you ever find yourself on your way somewhere, and you just autopilot for a minute, and you just end up down some street going down your normal route, and you're trying to go to this direction, but you just end up doing what you always do, and you get to this place and you go, oops, I'm at home, not at the bank. I'm at home, not at Kroger, and I was supposed to be at Kroger in my head. I fully planned to do that, but all of a sudden I end up somewhere where I'm not. So often that's true with our lives and the decisions we make. we can be distracted off course very easily and end up wandering. But God has an incredible destination for all of us that if we will push back on distraction, we'll arrive at our destination. But distraction is a very real way that the enemy comes to steal away the purposes of God in our life. And so we have to be alert, sober-minded, the Bible says, and make sure that distraction doesn't steal us from our mission, our vision, and our purpose. Someone say mission, vision, purpose. Say MVP. Well done, good and faithful servant. You see, this is heaven's MVP. God's words to people that don't get distracted along the way, don't get pulled this way, pulled that way, but understand that God has given you a mission, a vision, and a purpose. He's given our church a mission, a vision, but He's given your family a mission, a vision, and a purpose. And to render those words, well done, good and faithful servant, one of the greatest enemies to that destination is distraction. We've got to push back on it. See, mission is an important assignment given to a person or a group of people. Vision is when mission becomes personal. When we begin to see ourselves fitting into the mission, we start to see our role. We start to understand how we're a part of it. And we begin to dream and imagine the future with ourselves in it. Purpose is the reason for which something is done or created, for which something exists, the why behind the what. See, the definition of religion, and that's when the church loses its life and loses its power, is when we just do things and we lose the purpose, we lose the why behind the what, and here we are in the same old cycle, forgetting, being distracted from the why, because it's the why that has power. It's the why that carries the authority. It's the why that carries the weight to the vision and keeps us. I always used to ask, why, Mum? Is this not true? Is this true? Why, Mum? Why, Mum? Why, Mum? Because I'm okay with doing it if I understand why. But if I don't understand why, no way. Come and fight me. Let's go. That's how I was as a child. At 3 years old, I hit my mum over the head with a baseball bat. I was a terrible child. I didn't even know what I was doing. I saw a ball and I hit it. It's a true story, and I feel terrible about that as an adult, and I've repented many times. If you see me raise my hand in my service, it's because I feel bad still. That's why. But I see this mission, vision, purpose. I see this well done, good and faithful servant. I see this in the Bible when Jesus sends out the 72. God has called us as a church to go into communities and make a difference. Just like Pastor Ashley went to Australia recently and sat down with one of the politicians and of federal parliament, one of the big decision makers of the laws of Australia. And he said, I don't like where this is going. You're trying to restrict the religious freedoms. But because of the communities that we've gone into since 1922 as a church back in Australia, when we started just out of a prayer meeting in little old South Australia, a place called Adelaide, and because of the communities that we've gone into and seen influence and impact, we can sit down with the politicians of Australia and have conversations and say, hey, we don't like where this is going. You better change your mind or we're going to change your position. Because this is the kind of the power that the church needs to have, an influence the church needs to have, where we start speaking into those realms rather than being passive about it and say, well, I really hope that person gets in. Come on, we got to start to rise up. See, this is the reason why we have a big mission, a big vision, a big purpose. Is because it is possible to start to shift the trajectory. When things start going bad, when things start going south, the church should rise up with the strength of God as His bride, and say, you know what? We're not going to stand for this. This is what it means to be an influencer. And this is why 200 campuses, 10,000 leaders, and 100,000 salvations. This is the vision, mission, vision, purpose. See, God has an important assignment. Luke 10, verse 1 to 9. Let's read this and see this, because I want us to see us in this. God's speaking to us, and what's your go? What's your mission? What's your vision? What's your purpose? After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of Him, two by two, in every town and place where He Himself was about to go. God wants to send you to places where God wants to go and prepare the way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to do what He does best. You see, none of us can save, none of us can fix a broken heart. None of us can do what Jesus does. Only He can do that. But we can go before him and make a way and get things ready so that in a place like Cumming, Georgia, God can come into a room like this one right now and start working on broken and wounded hearts. And not only just for the broken, but to gather an army together, a family together that would find belonging, but also find purpose and mission and the reason why he's given us breath. This is God's purpose. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful. Come on, there's a lot to do, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into this harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Don't go from house to house. Whatever you enter a town, they receive you. Eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it. And say to them, and this is the important part, they're the logistics and instructions. And he says, the kingdom of God has come near to you because God wants us to build his kingdom, not his castle. The goal of influencers is not to build mega churches in this spot and there. Nothing wrong with mega churches. You could call our church in Australia a mega church. But it's not the point. It's God's kingdom. Because kings rule castles, whereas God rules his kingdom. And you see, this influencers church is not built on personality. It's not built on a person or a group of people. It is built on good culture that comes from the Word of God, and it's built on all of us like God intended it, the 12 tribes. Look at a campus, think of the tribes. Look at a Kennesaw campus, think of the tribe of Judah. Look at Gwinnett, think of Benjamin. Think of Manasseh. This is how God has built families in communities that march together and camp together. We're united, but man, when we do this right and resist the urge to have kings, but rather say, God, we want to build your kingdom. I'm not talking about leaders. In leadership, there was leadership in the tribes, very clear leadership structure, but it wasn't a personality-driven regime. Does that make sense? See, people send me pictures all the time, like pictures of cats with like words and memes and all this sort of stuff. Please don't send me them anymore. I hate those. So silly pictures, actually, don't. I don't really care. But I love when people send me pictures that are more than just cats. And this one picture, Craig Swanson, who's an incredible, him and Paige are incredible leaders in the campus and leaders in the church. And he sent me this picture a little while ago. And this is just one of the young men that he works at Georgia Tech and he does a bunch of stuff there. And it just has a passion to see people encounter the real love of Jesus Christ. And people that are far from God in their heart, reconnected with him. And that, if you can't see it, is a bridge illustration. If you don't know what the bridge illustration is, outside in the tent, he set up a tent this morning. And I love that he did this because this is his passion to say, hey, if you're passionate about going into colleges, about leading people to Christ, this is one of the ways, one of the styles, and it might be different to how you do it, but I love it that he stepped up and said, this is in my heart, Mark. Can I do this? And I said, absolutely, we're all about this. And so if you get a chance to stop and talk to him, I'm telling you, look at just listen to his story, listen to his testimony, listen to his heart. He sent me this other photo, this other guy. He sends me all these photos all the time, but here's another one. He's like, hey, look what I was doing today. And I love this. This is better than cats, isn't it? Come on. Far out. Look, it's like, man, God and Jesus is the bridge and we've been separated and we can't get through good deeds and our own striving and all this sort of stuff. And so whatever you need to do, it's one thing to talk about it. And why I love this, it's one thing to talk about it and have good intentions, good desire, but it's another thing to actually be equipped with, what do you do in that conversation? Because let's be real, we might have been in a church for a long time. We might have been around it for a long time, but how do I have a conversation with someone that's searching for answers and has a lot of questions? Mission, vision, purpose. When we lean into that, we'll do what we need to do to solve the problem, eh? Our church, what's our vision? We have a 2036 vision. 2036 is a long time. I'll be 47. Woo! I'll be Botoxed up to the hill, all that. My forehead won't move. They'll figure out a better way to do it after that, I think. Oh, man, 2036. Here we come. But I'm glad to be a part of a church that doesn't just have a year vision or a five-year vision or it has a vision that's long-term as well as a short-term plan. A light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. That we understand that God wants to direct our steps, but also there's a great future ahead of us. So 200 campuses, 10,000 leaders, 100,000 salvations. We want to build 200 life-giving communities that are part of the Influencers family, disciple 10,000 godly leaders that have Influencers DNA, godly, biblical-based DNA, rescue 100,000 people that are searching for a real relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not a pyramid scheme. This is the gospel. Yeah. Why are we doing it? Number one, this is how the church is how people are loved and discover their belonging and their place in God's family. Number two, it's how we give people amazing opportunities like Craig this morning with his tent. I love it. To express what God has put inside of them. Let me tell you, if you have something inside of you and you've got a plan, you've got a heart to do this, do that, come and talk to us. This is the thing. Too many of us expect churches to be like, the leadership to be like painters, where we kind of, here's the plan, go and do this. But reality, churches should be more like sculptors, where it's just a guiding and chipping away. What about this? And you come with your part and you're starting to shape, and this is what's in my heart. This is what my plans are. And we start to shape it and we guide and we do it together. In unity, this is God's plan for his church. Number three, it's how we reach the whole of Atlanta with 12 campuses, because you know the whole of Atlanta is not coming to coming, but we can go to the whole of Atlanta. That's why Jesus didn't say, just stay here and wait for them to come to you. He said, go and make disciples. That's why we came to America, to launch the hub that is Atlantioch. Do you know Antioch in the Bible? Yeah, Jerusalem, Antioch was a hub. It was right in the center of the trade routes. It was the part where they launched church planting like crazy. It started in Jerusalem, it started in Adelaide, started in Australia, but Antioch was where they set up the hub that launched church planting globally at that time in that world, in the world at the time that they knew. And as they explored and pushed out across Asia, across Europe, all of this stuff happened from Atlantioch. Antioch. It's how we reach South America, Africa, Europe, Australia, Asia, life-giving campuses. Five, it creates a godly influence in hundreds of communities. Six, it's God's command to go into all the world and make disciples, of course. All of that are covered. If you weren't here last week, the building announcement, all of that sort of stuff, I want to take a moment to honor Scott and Cindy Lefevre, who started Warehouse Ministries, have sown into this community at Forsyth for many, 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 many years. Consistently, many of you have been impacted by them and everything God's done through them. And I just want to say it's our honor. We've been working through the deals of, okay, what do we do with the sound? What do we do with the lights? What do we do with all that sort of stuff? And we've been able to offer them free rent until the end of October, and then we'll have a discussion of what happens after that. But I just want to say thank you to them and to the whole Warehouse crew. This is just the beginning for both, and I believe God has great future in store. So what about this building? Look around. We don't have much of a back aisle there. We got a little bit more room. We could probably be right here in the front. But what do we do about space? What do? We bought a building that's great for now, but what about tomorrow? So we started to think about, you know, obviously when we were looking at this building, we started going, okay, this has got to work for long term, not just short term. And so one of the first things that we're going to do in phase one, this is the map right now as it stands. I kind of did that on Photoshop last night, so it might be off, but I think it's pretty good. Thank you. Keep saying it. Come on. Yep, that's good. I'm amazing. Thank you. Not really. Okay, so what we want to do, first step, is we want to build a new kids' wing on the back. There's 30. We don't have enough space for kids. We don't have enough space for kids right now at all. And we had 75 kids last week. I'm interested to know how many we have this week. But there is a real need for us to do something, because my son is back there right now. And I know many of your children are back there. And we've got to make a place for our children to encounter God in a real way on Sunday and just have a thriving environment. And right now in this building, it's good, but could be great. And so that's one of our first things we're going to be doing. 3,500 square feet at the back, which is about a third of the size of the whole building. That we're just working with the county, making sure that, you know, we bribe them right and make sure that all happens. So the other thing we're going to do in phase three, and I'll show you the phases in a minute, but we want to do and actually push back these walls. So this wall can go all the way back to the exterior, and that wall can go all the way back, and it's about 2,000 square feet extra if I've done my 1, 2, 3 stepping it out right. So it could be 1,000, it could be 10,000, I don't know. But it's around about 1,000. I'm pretty good with that stuff, if I do say so myself. Wow, it's real. prideful of me right now. Lord Jesus. No. Okay, let's back to it. Phase one, kids, painting, signage. Phase two, cafe, production stuff. Phase three, auditorium. So this is going to be happening over the next little while. To give you the details of what happened, we bought the building for $1.5 million. The owner donated back $200,000 to us. Praise God, that's awesome. And it's all the tax loopholes, let's be honest. He thought it was anyway. So anyway, $72,000 raised in December, gift giving, 4 weeks. You guys raised $72,000 cash. I want to say thank you so much because what awesome. What that's enabled us to do is, and I reckon, this is what I believe. I believe God responds to that kind of faith and stepping out. And we didn't have a building. We didn't have plans. We were looking at land and different other things. And we just gave in faith and step out, and here we are. And that's what happens when you do that. And it's pretty cool, and I'm excited for that to happen. And so we're looking at all, I won't go through any more of that other than to say that's what we're carrying. We probably are going to need, I'm not about to do pledges today, but what we want to do is we want to let you know that there are some, of closing comes in 60 days, there are some things that we're going to have to carry as a campus, because with vision creates a debt, okay? So whenever even for your own family, if you move into vision, taking new ground, it creates a debt, but it's an awesome opportunity, not just an obligation. It's an awesome opportunity. So we're about to step into that and see us establish a home with the first campus outside of our main campus back in Australia to own our building. We're one of the first campuses to own a building under 2 years that I know of, which is amazing. So thank you, Jesus, for that. That's all glory to Him. Stepping out in faith. So Luke 14, 28, 30. For which of you intended to build a tower does not sit down and first count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. We're going to finish this and we're going to finish it well. We're going to do awesome. It's going to be awesome. And so the reason why I wanted to kind of outlay this to you guys is that the vision would be clear to you from now until 2036. The Bible says in Habakkuk, whichever one you like to say, in 2 verse 2 and 3, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. God's increasing our speed. We're going to run faster. If you think we're running fast now, get ready. It's a whole nother level coming. For still vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And I just want to be an encouragement for people who you feel like, God, there's a delay. And you're frustrated. You've had a vision for a long time, a dream for a long time. Let that encourage your heart this morning. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Because there is a great vision, a great purpose, and a great mission that God has for you. And His desire is for you to find it in His house, with His people, and for us to make a difference together. Awesome.
Come on. Come on, who's excited? Say this with me. Say, I am a part of a vision. Say, I am the product of a vision. Come on, how many of you know? How many of you are thankful for godly leaders who were obedient to the voice of the Lord that called them to a place like Cumming, Georgia, that we're now reaping the benefits of? I'm thankful for godly leaders that said, you know what, God, you've called me to something greater, and I'm just going to be crazy enough to trust you. So many of us would have never met, would have never crossed paths, would have never been able to journey this life together if it wasn't for godly leaders that said, you know what, we're just willing to obey what you have for us. You know, you hear a vision like what Pastor Mark has outlined today. And what if you've been at Influencers for any length of time, you've heard this 200 campuses, 10,000 leaders, you've heard it. We've always been championing the vision and putting it on display and wanting us, and we all rallied around it. But you know, it's very easy to reap the benefits of a vision. It's another thing to be the carriers of a vision. And we can look at something so big and go, this is great, and man, I'm loving life, but where do I fit? How can I be a part? How can I be a part of this great vision? God, this is what you've called, this is what you've done, this is what I'm reaping the benefits of, but where's my place? Because they can feel good for a little while, but then there just comes this moment of challenge where let's do something about it. And I just want to just take just the next few moments and just talk about our responsibility as carriers of the vision. If we will, we're going to look at just a quick portion of scripture in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. You may have read this before. It's going to be up on the screens. It says this. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha said, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all except a flask of oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled them one after another. And soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. Then the olive oil stopped flowing. And when she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." It's out of this portion of scripture that God began to confirm and unpack to our global leadership team, Pastor Ashley, Pastor Jane, Pastor Mark, and the rest that are on that team, of this vision of 200 campuses and 10,000 leaders, and realizing that this illustration, if you will, this story in the Bible that was God was challenging us with is saying, hey, go and gather the pots. What were the empty pots? They were buildings. They were people. And begin to continue to pour. And what I love about the story is that as there were jars and as the need was always there, the supply was always there. When the posture of pouring was always there, the oil never ran out. Church, we can't get complacent. We can't stop. We can't begin to become reserved and say, man, how great is this building? We got to keep pouring. Because there's people who are desperate for us to just keep pouring. There are lost people. There are broken marriages. There are hurting children. There are people in financial turmoil who tonight are going to contemplate taking their lives. And if we stop pouring, what could happen? Are we faithful to continue to pour? To pour out what God has given us. What I love is Elisha looked at her and said, "What is your need?" And then the answer was in what? It was in what she already had. What is it that we're labeling as insignificant that God actually wants to use as the tool to unlock somebody? It's a challenge to us. It's this posture of saying, God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Would we be crazy enough and willing to offer ourselves to God in that way? In the vision. And as she's pouring out, what was it? It wasn't even for her breakthrough. Her pouring out of the oil was the redemption of her sons. Her act of obedience and what she was breaking through was to actually redeem her sons. What God is asking us to do is for the sake of redeeming others. But the supply is always there. But are we willing to stay committed? Are we willing to stay planted? Can I tell you something? One of the most attractive things for my wife and I 5 years ago when we came to Influencers Church was this. Our very first Sunday, the church was 2 months old. We got invited by a cold call. If you don't know what a cold call is, it's literally somebody you don't know picking up the phone, calling you and saying, you don't know me and I don't know you. But I was working at the time, and I got a voicemail. I remember listening to my voicemail, and it was this guy. He said, "Hey, you don't know me, and I don't know you, but we kind of know this same guy, so if this doesn't wear you out, call me back." I was really desperate at that point in my life, so I called. I didn't know if he was trying to sell me a couch or what he was going to do. And he ended up inviting us to church. It was the first church in my life I had ever stepped foot in, and nobody knew me. Because so many of you know, my parents were pastors and missionaries, so I've always, when you're a pastor's kid, it's a, "Oh, you're so-and-so's son." I was never Ryan. I was Mel and Teresa's son, right? It's just how it went. Like, "Yes, my name is Ryan. It's nice to meet you." It's the first church I ever stepped foot in, and I didn't know a single soul. There was less than 100 people in the room, and The guy who invited me was on the stage leading worship, and I began to look around, and I went, hang on a second, where are the pastors? 2 months old, and the pastors weren't there. I'm like, this is weird. I remember I watched this skeleton crew of a leadership team and 2 months old and a guest speaker get up and put on this service, and I saw what was happening around, and I'm like, this is something way bigger than a man and a woman. There's a great vision here. I remember getting in the car and driving on the way home, and it was one of those kind of silent drives where my wife and I were like, are you going to talk first? Am I going to talk first? Are you going to talk first? I remember Lindsay looked at me and she goes, how crazy is it that I know this is going to be home and we haven't met anybody in leadership yet? And I remember to watch the journey that God challenged us on was we sat on the very back row with our 2-month-old son because there was no nursery or not many volunteers at that time, and began to watch as we remained planted and we stayed when other people left and when people got frustrated, whatever the case would be, we had our eyes that were set on a greater vision and a greater purpose, and I'm standing on this platform today. Why? Because I remained and because I was planted. And let me tell you something, church, the same thing is accessible to each and every one of us if we're willing to remain and to stay planted. Please, please don't mistake being stuck with being planted. Because we can't begin to grow in our lives until God can plant us somewhere. Because there's one thing that I feel so much in my spirit that God challenged me on just not too long ago, less than a year ago. I was really wrestling with something. And I had this kind of thought pop in my head. I didn't know if it was just a thought I stumbled on or the Holy Spirit speaking, but it was this. What if God's not calling me to it, but rather he's leading me to it? And I began to ponder on that statement. I began to go back in the Bible and begin to read and study, trying to look for some sort of justification. You know what I mean? Like, you ever gotten the word and you're like, is that me or is that God? Well, let's go to the Bible and find out. It was that moment. I began to dig and dig and dig, and I didn't seem to find much of anything. I was looking for a story. Like, yes, that was the Holy Spirit, not me. It didn't make sense for a while. Then God challenged me later. He said, Ryan, how many times did Jesus look at the disciples and just say, follow me? That was it. Jesus, time and time again, looked at the disciples and said, would you follow me? And the disciples sometimes had no idea where they were going or what they were doing, but they were just faithful enough to follow him. And then we began to see 12 men turn the world upside down out of an act of obedience of following Jesus. Coming Campus, can we be a group of people that won't just go chasing word after word, but will chase the word that's already been spoken, and that is to follow me? That's how we're going to begin to see lives changed. I'm thankful for this day of celebration. We're stepping into this new chapter. We're looking at the promised land, but let us not get complacent. Let us not get comfortable, but let's link arms. Let's fight side by side, and let's begin to see this area, this city, this county begin to be transformed by the powerful love of Jesus. Are you with me this morning? That is our place. That is our place in the mission. And I can tell you, I've lived it. I'm still living it. It's still a challenge. But if we will just focus on following him, he's never let us down. He's sure not going to start now. And we're going to begin to see the oil begin to never run out as we continue to always take the posture of pouring. Follow me. That's what he said. So what I want to do, just literally right now in the middle of service, I want to give the opportunity for those of you who may be here this morning and you go, you know what, Ryan, this is awesome and this sounds great, but following Jesus, it's something that I haven't ever done before. Or maybe you've done it at one point in your life, but you, for whatever reason, you've kind of sidetracked or gotten on the wrong foot or whatever that may be. Let me tell you that the thing I love about Jesus is that as long as there's breath in our lungs, there's still time to make things right with him. Or maybe you're to say today, Ryan, you know what? If I were to slip from this life and into the next today, I can't be 100% sure where I would spend my eternity. I want to be sure today. I want to renew this commitment of following Jesus no matter the cost, No matter what it is, I'll champion it. This cause of what God has called us to as his people. I want to give the opportunity to lead you in a prayer that will literally change your life. And more importantly, what I want to do is us, everybody in this room as a family, to pray this prayer together of salvation, of saying, Lord, my life is not my own. I surrender it to you, and I'm committed to following you and beginning to see the world transformed through my life and through the life of others. So can we just bow our head and close our eyes right now? And if you would, just repeat after me as we pray. You say, dear Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Today, I ask you to come into my heart and make me brand new. I acknowledge you as the leader of my life. So would you lead me? Would you guide me all my days? I'm committed to following you no matter what. From this day forward, I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. And just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to pray. If you prayed that prayer, as I said, for the very first time, or maybe you prayed that prayer rededicating your life to the Lord, or whether you were just making your eternity 100% sure, I want to pray for you personally. And just that God will be so near to you and encouraging you. And we're going to join with all of heaven in celebrating you in just a moment. But just as a moment of privacy, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, if you would just let me know by slipping up your hand on the count of three, because I just want to include you in that prayer today. One, God loves you so much. Two, all of heaven is rejoicing with the decision you've made. And three, if that's you, would you just lift your hand right now, just all across this room? Yes. I see your hand. Is there anybody else right now? Once I see it, you can go ahead and put it down. Is there anyone else? Two amazing people in this service. I just want to give just another opportunity. Just, I don't want to miss anybody. I don't want to be so quick to transition or anything along those lines. But if that's you, well, Father, I thank you right now for these two individuals that have made literally the greatest decision of their life. All of heaven and all of earth are rejoicing for the eternities that were just shifted in a moment. God, I'm thankful for a service like this, a life-giving place, a community, God, of believers and people that are willing to reach out and give the opportunity for these type of decisions. This is what it's all about, God, people coming to find you. So, Father, I pray over these two individuals right now in the name of Jesus that you would be so near to them, God, that you would unlock things in them, that they would be so loved by you, that they would be wrapped up by your love, that they would feel you and the purpose that you had. Your words, Father, even if it was just them, you would have sent your son to die so that they could be free. You would have sent your son to die so that they could have life and life to the fullest. And Father, and purpose in their life. And Lord, we just pray right now just for your closeness to them. And we celebrate today with all of heaven, with these two people who have made the greatest decision of their lives today. And we're thankful for what you've done. And we shout in victory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, church. Amen. Can we celebrate?
So good. Come on, let's celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. Well, what an exciting, historic day in the coming campus. I'm super excited. I love that. Follow me. Follow me. That's the cry. That's the call. Go into all the world. Jesus said, follow me. Now go into all the world. I just felt, I didn't share this in the first service, but I want to share something. I just felt God prophetically put it on my heart, and it's out of Ezekiel where God brings him to the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel 37, and God then says to Ezekiel, after showing him right throughout the valley thousands and thousands of dead bodies that are just literally dry, disconnected bones. And he says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, then life came to them, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. when I read that, I just felt so quickened in my spirit that God wants you to know that He's preparing a vast army. He's preparing a vast army out of people who felt dry, out of people who felt disconnected, out of people who felt they've had no breath or energy or life in them. And the next season for Influencers Church is going to be one where we begin to assemble as a mighty army that God has breathed breath into because we followed Him, because we've stayed, we've sat in the back row, we've gone, what is going on? But something, we've listened to the voice of God, not the voice of man. And that's what I love. I was visiting with a woman who's been coming to our Gwinnett campus, and she is a Catholic lady, beautiful, devoted Catholic lady, but she has never met Jesus personally, and she is on a journey of awakening and on a journey to connect with Jesus. And she was talking with me. I spent 3 hours with her yesterday, and she said to me, Jane, she said, what I can't understand, she said, I look around churches all over the USA, whether they're Catholic, whether they're Christian, it doesn't matter. She said, and I look at the church and I see a man. She said, but when I come, and she's been to sisterhood, she's been to Sunday service, she said, every time I come to service, she said, I come in and I don't see a man, I feel God. And I was like, I was undone, and I said, that's how church is supposed to be, because it's a kingdom with a king, and we're meant to fall in love with the King of Kings, and we are His army, and we are commissioned to go out into all the world and plant life-giving campuses all around Atlanta. We are called to have influence, to make a difference, to disciple, to evangelize, and all those amazing things. And so here we are with a building now for our coming campus. And I'm so excited because that makes us real, right? We're a real campus now. We got a building. I love that. Poor Gwinnett campus, they still don't have their building, but we're working on that. And Roswell campus starts in 4 weeks, I think it is. It's going to be incredible. Pastor Arnold and Anika are going there. Now, we are not the kind of church that throw our campus pastors in the deep end. When Pastor Mark came to coming, we were very deliberate and prayerful about who could go, and we set a great team with him. We didn't just say, oh, okay, Mark, Pastor Mark and Pastor Lauren, off you go. Try your best. No, we onboarded them all the way. We're like, okay, no, we got a team. Have you got the right people? Here you go. And they didn't really need a lot of help there because they're amazing. But that's what we did. Now, we have Pastor Arnold and Anika going out to Roswell, and we need people to go and onboard them. Now, when we look at the senior leadership team at Influencers Church, there are only two people that can help onboard Pastor Arnold. I would do it, but that's weird, with a woman helping a man. You know that's wrong. That just doesn't work. And so the other person's Pastor Ashley and Pastor Mark. Now, Pastor Ashley pulled the seniority string, and he said, well, you in coming have got a building, so Pastor Mark, it needs to be you helping on board Pastor Arnold. So we are really excited to let you know that you are part of the Roswell plant, because Pastor Mark is only temporarily, did you hear that word? Temporarily, everyone say temporarily, temporarily. 2 weeks out of every month, we're going to send Pastor Mark to Roswell to help onboard that campus, to train the team, to train Pastor Arnold and Anika, and make sure that the brand new baby Influences birthing is strong and survives and lives. And so that will be for a determined time. I'm not sure whether it's 6 months, 10 weeks, I've heard a few different things, but whatever it is, it's only a temporary thing. Pastor Lauren is staying here. This is Pastor Mark's campus. He'll be back 2 weeks out of every Sunday, every month, and it's going to be incredible, an incredible, incredible thing that is happening. Now, we are not going to weaken Coming Campus in any way by sending Pastor Mark 2 weeks out of the month. You're like, oh, how are we going to cope? Oh my goodness, we've thought of that too. Don't worry, there's sinews and muscle coming to those bones, there's skin, because we have asked Pastor Ryan and Pastor Lindsay Rolls, Pastor Ryan and Lindsay Rolls, to become, I haven't even told you and you're clapping. That's pretty good. To become campus pastors here at Coming. Because, stand up guys, you can come up and join me up here. We love these guys. Come on, let's keep. Telling you, but wait, there's more. You can take your seats. So, to help these guys and to add some flesh to these bones, we have asked Pastor Mike and Pastor Laura Fess to become assistant campus pastors. Is Laura here? Laura came out in the 9:30. She may not come out again, but if she does, here she comes! Yay! Come on, Mike. You don't need to be playing that thing. Oh, is your cord long enough? Oh yeah. But wait, that is not more. That is not all. There's more. We have asked a senior leadership team to step up. I mean, these people are part of the senior leadership team, but I want you to know about them so that you know how strong this campus is, so that you know how much flesh, how many bones that there is in this army. So we have Sean and Kimberly Craig. And we have Angel and Philip as part. Where are you guys? Are you here? Stand up if you're here. Yep. Oh, there you go. Over there. I mean, just look. Stay standing. Stay standing, guys. Just have a look at the solidness, strength, the strength of this incredible leadership team. But not only, thank you guys, not only that, in the coming campus, you see, God is, you're all going to a new season. As everyone steps up, God is bringing strength. He is bringing life. He's bringing systems. He's bringing foundation. He's bringing something incredible. Because as a core team under the senior leadership team of 40 people who have all graduated from Influencers Leaders College, and or our dream team captains at this campus. I'm telling you, that is huge. That is absolutely massive. I'm going to get you guys to come up, if you can, up onto the stage, and Pastor Mark and Pastor Lauren, because I'm going to just get us to just pray over these next steps for all of these people. But I want to say to you, this is an opportunity. As God is raising up a vast army. I can see it in my spirit. I've been talking to Sisterhood about it for months, that God gave me a vision that He is raising a vast army up, and an army of people who are willing to be authentic, who are willing to be real, who are willing to have God's breath of life breathed into them, who are willing to be strengthened, to be reconnected, to be commissioned in His army. And I just want to present to you, Coming Campus, an incredible leadership team that is going to continue to lead Coming Campus into the next season of growth, building, and incredible influence in this county. All right, would you stretch your hands out towards all these amazing people? Father, I thank you for Pastor Ryan and for Pastor Lindsay, Lord. I thank you for them. I thank you for the gifts on their life. I thank you as they step up into this new season, Lord, that you will anoint them. You will encourage them. Lord, you will just give them a double portion of your anointing and grace to serve your church and to minister. Father, I pray for Mike and Laura. Lord, I just pray that you will just cause, Lord, a fresh season to come upon them, Lord, where they run and don't grow weary, Lord, that you will cause them. I just see like a three-legged race, you guys being tied together by one leg and running and laughing and saying, wow, this is crazy. We've never done this before. But God is just saying, you guys are going to run together like one person. And Kimberly and Sean, we just thank you, Lord, for the strength and the gift and the wisdom. I thank you for wisdom, Father, in this man and this woman. I thank you for the gifts that they bring, and for Angel and for Philip, Lord. I pray, I thank you for the great things that you've placed in their lives. Lord, I thank you that Philip is a go-getter. Thank you, Father, that he is somebody who sees things. God has anointed you to see, Philip. He's anointed you to see and doesn't want you to be confident about going after what you see. Sometimes there's people around you that say, don't be so, and then they name something so precocious or something, you know, whatever it is that you've been labeled. And God says, no, I've opened your eyes to see more than the average person to go after it. And Angel, I thank you for your pastoral heart. I thank you, Angel, for your ability to see people who are hurting, and God is going to double that and cause that to just increase. And even I see you at times crying at night. I'm sorry for this, but I see you going to be crying at night because of the burden that God is going to put on your heart for people. I thank you, Father, for Lauren and for Mark as they step up and take their next steps. I thank you, Father, for greater leadership. I thank you, Father, for an expansion of your kingdom through their lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.